time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region. Your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman, on today's show. We're going to be talking with our very own Don Stock. We talk about a lot of things, primarily high school football and a few other things. Then around 9:15 or so, we're expecting a phone call from Bloomberg opinion writer Adam Metter, who's going to be talking about the situation between the NBA and China. And then around 9:30 or so, we're going to have a pre-recorded interview with Frankfort cross country coach Tim Galati and three members of the Sagamore Conference winning squad. We're also hoping for some coaches call in after that from last night. We'll recap week 8 of the high school football season, possibly talk some college and pro football. So that's the lineup for today. Also, we encourage your calls at 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463. That's just some of the things we're going to be doing for today. So let's get into the thing. Let's run over the scores of our local schools real quick from last night. North Montgomery over Frankfort 41-0. Clinton Prairie, which Don covered last night, defeated Carroll 48-15, and Delphi defeated Clinton Central 19-6. Those were our local scores from last night. We'll get to all of them here very shortly. As we say good morning to Don Stock. Don, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. How about you, Ken?
Doing really well. So you had the suddenly resurgent Gophers last night.
Yeah, you know, they're really a very good football team. The ball games that we've had, there's always been something kind of a bugaboo that has caused them some challenges. The first game when we covered against Central, a lot of penalties. The next ball game, they had a difficult with defending the pass. Then the next ball game, they fumbled a lot. But they have such a strong offensive attack, so many ways, so many weapons, that it keeps them into ball games. Man, if they could ever come out and just play a really good football game, they'll put the wax on somebody, and hopefully this week it'll be Eastern.
Yeah, you and I were talking beforehand about there was kind of a one play that, as you were talking, kind of changed things around last night.
Yeah, I thought that halftime it was 20-7, and Prairie was going to receive the ball the second half because they deferred, and they came out and they were, I thought they were pretty lethargic, which is easy to do. You've been out in the cold and rain, and then you go inside to a warm building and you come back out. I mean, it's easy to do. I thought they came out pretty lethargic, and the play happened in Carroll's first set of downs. They were getting ready to punt the ball deep into their territory, and it was a bad snap, and it rolled back. And as anybody would do, you, me, anybody, the punter went down on a knee to get the ball to make sure it didn't go through him, and as soon as he touched the ball, it was down because he was on a knee, and so Prairie had it first and goal at the 6-yard line. My play board, my color guy, Lamar, he's always said, you know, when all that happens, the best thing to do is just get the ball and run out of bounds for a touchback. You're not giving them a touchdown, and you're going to punt the ball or kick off to them and make them come back rather than to give the ball a six. Makes a lot of sense, but you know, it's something you don't think about.
No, you don't think, especially no. Especially in kids that age, they're not going to think about something like that. I mean, there's a lot of pro players don't even think about that.
No, you're right. But I thought it was a great analysis from Lamar, and makes a lot of sense. But boy, I tell you, before I get into Prairie, because man, I could talk about them guys all day. They're very good. We'll talk a little bit about Clinton Central. I feel sorry for the Central Bulldogs because, you know, when we put the schedule together, we really thought those guys were going to be the men amongst boys. They had a great season last year. Most of those kids were coming back. And how quickly your team goes south when your leader quarterback gets hurt. And we were there for that ball game, and they never could recover. And then you get other good players getting hurt, and then the next thing you know, man, you're just hoping for the best.
Well, you know, and the other thing of it is, when I asked Justin when he was in here at the beginning of the season, I said, how's your depth? He said, well, we're okay. We got 28 kids. And I'm like, that's probably not quite enough. I mean, when you compare what Frankfurt's got, they still
68.
Got 68. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, you know, that may be okay as long as they don't get hurt, but once they get hurt, you're in trouble.
Especially in a 1A school, because a lot of kids play both ways, and when their quarterback went out, you could tell that he was the guy because they couldn't find one in his game against Prairie, and they had a difficult time getting things lined up because their quarterback just couldn't make it happen. The same thing happened to Frankfurt when their quarterback went out. They had a difficult time finding the right guy to be the quarterback. Now, there's other challenges with the Hot Dogs, but, man, I just love really what Coach Byers is trying to get accounted for, and that is he's got 68 young men playing football, and he plays a lot of them. And that encourages kids to continue to come out. They're pretty impressive when you look at them when they're warming up on the field. I mean, they cover the whole field, and not just, like, there's a lot of bodies out there, 68 of them.
Yeah.
And they're just going through the growing pains right now. I stopped at Coach Byers' house. He wasn't home. I told his family that when I was in the Hot Dogs, when I videotaped, I started out with Kevin Wright, and then Vince Burpo came in, and Colby came in. And every coach brought in something new and better. And we were everybody's home team or homecoming team. We were everybody's. And that irked me, and I wasn't even playing. And that's what's happening at Frankfurt now. But what they need to do is they need to log in all the throttling that's going on, and that should be their momentum to get them into the weight room, watch videos, listen to the coach, get ready for next year, because in about a year or two, they're going to be doing the waxing. And they need to remember so that once it starts, they don't say, oh, you know, let's know. I mean, that's how the sport is. It's a very rough sport.
You know, and of course, next week they play at Crawfordsville, who's in the same boat that they are.
Yeah, a good chance. I thought last night it was 6-0 at the end of the first period. I thought maybe this is the night. But you know what? When you get beat and you get beat and you get beat and you haven't won a ball game in a couple of years, you know that when the ship turns south, it's easy to go, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm a Cub fan. I know that feeling.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, when you look at some of the stats here I've got in front of me, you know, both Crawfordsville and Frankfurt are almost dead even. I mean, you know, Crawfordsville scored 8 more points than Frankfurt has this year, which you would say, okay, low-scoring game, you know, 44-36. Okay. Points allowed, though, are 354 to 350. Frankfurt's given up 4 more points. So, I mean, when you look at it on paper, it looks like a dead-even game. Of course, you're going over there.
Yeah, and you don't know what the weather is.
Yeah. And now, like last night, the weather does become an issue.
It does. I think that it does now because, and probably more of the cold than it is the rain. Maybe the old days when they used to say, well, you can pass the football all you want because once the tournament gets here, you're not going to be able to. That doesn't seem to be a challenge to people anymore, throwing the ball when it's wet.
You know, and I think the reason why is because receivers do know where they're going. Defensive backs don't, and with the, you know, I'm not so sure how it's being called in high school. I know how it's being called in college and pros. But, I'm not, you know, depending on how they want to call pass interference in high school, which I don't know how they're doing anymore. I don't know if they're letting them play a little bit or what they're doing. So to me, the offense should always have the advantage. Not necessarily the case, but it should be.
Yeah, well, most receivers now wear gloves. They don't do bare hands. And so all those play a different role. I mean, really, Carroll didn't have at one time, a very difficult time throwing the ball when it was raining. As we said, that's one of the challenges that the football team that I see has is they play a zone defense, and when two receivers come into that zone, I think they have a confusion of who gets what, which individual. So, but you know, I'm ready to talk about Prairie because they've got a lot of bullets. Starting off with their quarterback, Mr. Osborne. Man, he's up until last night, he's thrown the ball 101 times, 62 completions for 1,009 yards. He's run the ball for 830 yards coming into last night, and he's got to be closing in on 1,000 along with Baker. And Baker is a guy that what's great to watch him is he'll run through a couple players and then drag three more to get 8 yards. Both of those guys in the backfield is a great attack. But if you don't have an offensive line, then those guys aren't doing any good. So let's talk about them. You got McKinley, you got Haynes, you got Davis, you got Patrick, and they follow behind the man-child, Shane Patrick. That guy is he's going to be playing football on Saturdays at a small college somewhere. Mm-hmm. He is really, really good. His offensive prowess is great. He blows lines open. He's a great football player. He comes in at 295 pounds, 5'11". So they've moved him into a halfback slot when they go for two after the touchdown, kind of like the 85 Bears, man, yeah, with the fridge.
Right.
And if you can get in behind him, you're in good shape.
That's right. So you know, if Carroll gets the right kind of, if Prairie gets the right kind of draw, they should be in good shape.
Yeah, they're in a sectional that they can do a lot of damage in. And the sectional is sectional 42. And in that sectional, you have Trader Point, you have Frontier, you have Carroll, a team they just beat, North White, Central Catholic, Clinton Central, and Tri-County. And of those schools, Tri-County has won one game, Clinton Central's two, Catholic has won five games, but those five games were against teams that aren't very good.
The only thing about Central Catholic, though, is they're starting to get it back together at the right time of year. They've won like three in a row, despite the fact of who they're playing.
Yeah, I'm going to put my money on the Gophers, and I'm going to do that because of the number of weapons. They have kids that play both ways. They don't seem to get tired, and by moving Patrick into the on offensive guard and using him as a pull guy, you know, I don't care if you know that that's where the ball is going. You're either going to get shellacked by him or by Baker, who's run the ball, or by Vandergriff.
Right.
So we haven't even talked about him yet.
Yeah. So, but it's great to have that kind of diversity. And then as we've also talked about, they can throw the football as well. So that's like the thing it was with Carroll. I was talking with Kevin last week, is that their offense was coming together both ways, which just gives you a tremendous advantage this time of year.
You do. On the offensive side, they're throwing to Peters, Fullerton, and Vandergriff, and those guys can flat catch the ball, and then when they get it, they know where to go with it. Yeah. And it's a really fun team to watch. It's enjoyable. They play hard. If they can just figure out which bugaboo is going to show up that night and try to make it not happen, when they get it all together, man, they're going to put the hurt on a lot of people.
And that's going to be kind of fun to watch because, let's just be honest, now, being selfish as well, our football in this area hasn't been that good for a while. It's going to be kind of nice to see that resurgence possibly coming up during the playoffs here.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would bang off like a Sheridan win or even a Delphi win. They had that opportunity when we were covering that ball game, just kind of let it slip away. I think Sheridan kind of went the same way. Sheridan gets beat last night 31-6 to Eastern, who comes in this coming weekend.
I was
weekend.
Just going to say, that's the next game we got next week. So.
But Eastern's a good football team, there's no doubt about it, but so is Clinton Prairie. And if they can come out against Eastern and have all throttles full, it could be a good football game.
Okay, that's our game next Friday night here on WILO AM and FM. So, Don, anything else you want to add before I turn you loose?
No, I appreciate you having me come in and looking forward to next Friday's ball game at Eastern.
Okay. Don, thanks much. Greatly appreciate it, and we'll catch you further down the line.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Is there something on your mind? Are you mad about something your elected officials have done? Do you have an opinion on a local or national issue? Let us know by sending your opinion to WILO and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We now have a sound off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on sound off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom at CasperRadio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper, Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're now being joined on the phone from a long way away, like Kuala Lumpur, Adam Mentor, who's the an opinion writer for Bloomberg. Adam, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Good evening from here.
It's evening over your guys' way?
Oh, yeah. It's 12 hours difference. It's,
okay.
About 9:15 in the evening.
And you were just telling me, as we were talking prior to this, is that it's tropical your way, too.
Yes, it is. But, right, I just checked. It's about 83 degrees right now and very humid. We just had a big rain, so it's the tropics for sure.
Okay. And we just had our first morning of scraping ice off car windows this morning around here, so a little bit different. So.
Well, as a native Minnesotan, that makes me a little homesick to hear. So.
Yeah, okay. So the reason we wanted to talk with you is the fact we got a thing about the NBA situation over in China, and I know you've been covering a little bit of that. In your opinion, what is really going on with that situation?
Well, you know, really you have to put it in the wider context of what's going on in China right now. This is the 70th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party, and a 70th anniversary in China is very important, and last week was their National Day. And in the months leading up to that, China's been in a real sort of patriotic hurricane almost. It's sucking in everything. Everything in China right now is about patriotism. It's about waving the Chinese flag. And any entity, any person, any organization, no matter what it is, that is somehow viewed as offending China's own sense of sovereignty and national greatness is going to be squeezed, and that especially goes for for-profit enterprises. So, you know, in the last few months before this NBA thing, you would have companies like, say, a Louis Vuitton, who put out an ad that didn't have the correct map of China on it, that didn't include all the territories that China claims, being forced to apologize for that if they wanted to see their operations go on. So when this thing happened with the NBA and you had Daryl Morey, who's a general manager of one team in the NBA, tweet something supportive of the Hong Kong democracy movement, it got caught up in that whole hurricane. And what might have been a smaller situation, you know, a year ago, turned into an international incident. So that's sort of a long explanation of the context of this thing. It's really about what's going on in China right now domestically.
I know, and one of the things that you put out there is that that you thought the NBA should kind of stand up to China a little bit in this, and they really haven't so far. So what do you think the reasons behind that are?
Well, I mean, I think China, or the NBA, has a very large and growing business in China. I mean, just the streaming rights for mobile phones were renewed last year with a company called Tencent for $1.5 billion. That's just the cost of getting the right stream thing. You throw in all the endorsement deals and the T-shirts and the gear and all that kind of thing, and the NBA is very concerned about losing access to this huge market. It's not quite the U.S. market yet, but you know, at current growth rates, it will be. And so ultimately, it comes down to the NBA wanting to protect its business and treading very carefully. And they've looked at what's happened to other companies and other industries that have, you know, dared to sort of cross China's allegedly red line and said, we don't want this. We don't want to hurt our business. And so we're going to see how we can work this out. So far, they haven't made really anybody happy. The Chinese aren't happy with them, and obviously folks in the States aren't happy with them either.
Well, you know, I was a little bit surprised. I see Yao Ming's comment, who played in the NBA for several years, now he's the president of the Chinese Basketball Association. He came out against, the way the NBA is handling things. And I was a little bit surprised to see that. What was your reaction to that?
Well, Yao is in a very tough spot right now because he's the head of the Chinese Basketball Association, the major professional basketball league of China. And for the last few years, he has explicitly tried to model the CBA, as it's called, after the NBA. And he's actually put his neck out on the line because Chinese sports, professional sports, are very much government-oriented, and he's trying to turn them into more of a private sector thing. And so he's walking a real tightrope there. His job is as much political as it is sports. And, you know, he's in a very unique position because he understands the U.S. quite well. Obviously, he understands China quite well. So, you know, it's hard to really get a read on him. But one thing is absolutely for certain, being the politician that he's expected to be right now, he's going to have to be critical of the NBA, whether he likes it or not, because that's just what he has to do to survive in his position. And I guess that gets to a wider point. I mean, it may look, you know, from afar, even within China or here in Asia, as if all of China is against the NBA at this point. That's not really the case. It's certainly you've got a lot of people who are very angry about what Daryl Morey tweeted, whether you agree with that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about this is you're not going to hear the voices of dissent. The people who are saying, what's the big deal? You wouldn't dare go on Chinese social media and say that because you will, you know, you think U.S. social media can be rough. You should see Chinese social media if you go up against the party. So, you know, it's really hard to know who's sincere in this. You know, the best gauge we actually have is the fact that these NBA games in China that, you know, supposedly are so unpopular were still sold out after all of this with rabid Chinese NBA fans. So, I mean, that sort of tells you it's really hard to read this even from within China, much less, you know, from the U.S.
But I'm just, you know, if you look at it from you know, most professional players, especially in the NBA, are very outspoken, very, I hate to use the word belligerent, but I'll use it because I couldn't think of anything else to say right now. But, you know,
sure.
I mean, you know, why should they have to change what they do currently? I'm talking about NBA players, you know, when they're going over to China. I mean, that's something you just don't do overnight.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you there. I mean, I think again, you know, James Harden, for example, I think it was within 24 hours. You know, he came out and he said he apologized. Now, I can't remember if Harden has been particularly outspoken as an NBA player in the U.S., but I think, you know, there's a lot of money involved, and the fact of the matter is, you look at it just from a commercial standpoint. You know, an NBA player can be in the United States and be very outspoken on political issues, and it may actually enhance his marketability in the U.S. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's viewed as a rebel. But, you know, if you're going to be outspoken on something like Hong Kong, as a professional athlete in China, it will cost you money.
Right.
You know, you are going to lose your deal. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. And, you know, I'm not the person to judge whether this person or that person is a hypocrite, but I think you can just sort of, you know, put things on a balance and decide for yourself. And I think it's pretty clear what's going on.
You know, I was a little surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been. I was a little surprised that President Trump got on Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, and a couple of other people about for not standing up or not on the chair exactly what he was upset about. I was a little surprised to see that. How about you? What was your point on that?
Well, I sort of got where he was coming from. I have to say, you know, I hadn't mentioned before, I lived in China for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been up close and personal, and I can understand when you are in that country and you're not feeling comfortable going up to the microphone and wanting to discuss politics while you're there. I've spent almost half my adult life overseas, and one of the things you do learn living overseas is, yeah, at some point you are a guest there, and you know, if I'm invited as a guest to somebody's house, I don't necessarily want to unload on them.
That's true.
So I am somewhat sympathetic to that. I mean, I never wanted to, you know, while I was in China, you know, I could be very critical, and don't get me wrong. I mean, you live there 12 years, you learn a few things, but even having lived there 12 years and while I was there, you know, I didn't think it was necessarily my place to stand up publicly while there and criticize them, you know, and so I can understand where they're coming from, because those guys, when they're there, they haven't spent nearly the time I have. You know, they also have, you know, financial motivation. So I think you have to have some sympathy for folks who don't necessarily want to stand up at a Chinese arena and let loose on the Chinese government.
Probably not a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
So have you been?
Yeah, and again, you're a guest.
Yeah.
And you're a guest there. You know, mm-hmm.
That's
so
true.
Hard.
Yeah. Have you been surprised, or did you expect the reaction from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver? Some of the things he said and done.
Not really. I mean, I think he's trying to walk a very fine line. He's got a big business there. He's got a big business in the United States, and I think he's trying to square the circle, if you will. You know, it's interesting what China wants more than anything. And they extract this from businesses all over the world, who do business in China. They want an apology. There's sort of a playbook. You apologize. You say, I recognize the sovereignty of the People's Republic of China. You know, in regard to Hong Kong, we respect one country, two systems. And that's what all kinds of companies have done. U.S. airlines have done it. Luxury companies have done it. And so far, Adam Silver hasn't done it. And I know people have been pretty critical, but I actually, from my perspective of covering this stuff and seeing other companies, not just U.S. companies, European companies, Japanese companies, Korean companies, sort of go and do this kowtow, I've actually been pretty impressed by the fact that he has said a lot, but he hasn't said that. He hasn't given the Chinese government what they want. And that's not easy, but it also speaks to the kind of power that the NBA has in China as well. I mean, it's wildly popular there. And as I wrote, I think at some point he's betting that the Chinese government isn't going to push.
Do you expect Silver to eventually apologize or not?
I think I'm just speculating here. So if I get this wrong, don't hold it against me. But
no.
If he hasn't apologized yet, I don't think he will. And I think just having watched it from over here, it's pretty clear to me, at least, and I think some of the other folks who cover this issue have written this, is that China is trying to sort of de-escalate the situation a bit so they don't lose face, because this hasn't worked out real well for China. You know, a lot of people who weren't paying attention to the Hong Kong situation in the United States are suddenly aware of it. And
mm-hmm.
That's really not, from China's point of view, in their interest. So this really hasn't played out great for China. It hasn't played out great for the NBA either. But if you're going to balance out who it's played out worse for, I'd say it's probably played out worse for China.
Okay, before I let you go here shortly, I want to touch base.
Yeah.
You've done a book called Junkyard Planet, Travels in the $1 billion Trash Trade, and you got another one coming up called Secondhand and Travels in the New Global Garage Sale. Talk a little bit about both those, if you would, real quick.
Sure. I've been covering recycling and secondhand stuff for about half of my career, and I've been following stuff. You know, your recycling used to go from the U.S. to China. I followed it. And a lot of your used clothes would go from the U.S. to Africa. I followed it there. So I just really want to show people the truth behind what happens to stuff when you put it in your recycling bin, you know, when you drop it off at the Goodwill. So this new book is really focused on sort of that extra stuff you have in your home when you've had the garage sale and it doesn't sell. What really happens to it? Where does it go? So that's what Secondhand Travels and the New Global Garage Sale is about. And I appreciate you bringing it up.
Not a problem. I mean, that's something when I have guests like this, I always like to, you know, if you've done books, I always like to make sure you get it published, you know, get out there and get noticed in case people say that sounds interesting. I like to go see what that's about. So I always like to.
Thank you very much.
I like to do that. Adam, anything else you'd like to add before I let you go?
Well, I just really appreciate you having me on. And, you know, if you ever want to talk about China sports again, I'm happy to come back.
All right.
Let me know.
I will do that, and I greatly appreciate your time. Hey, stay nice and cool over there, will you?
I sure will.
Adam, thanks much. Greatly appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. All right, bye-bye. That was Adam Metter, who covers is over there in China right now, talking about the NBA and China situation. He's in Kuala Lumpur right now, so that must be a nice place to be. I'd like to be there right now compared to where I am here, because even though it is a little bit, looks like it's warming up finally outside. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agent Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.